am really curious to just know more, Frankie, about like your mindset of spiritualism, because I'm gonna be real. Like, of course, a lot of black families who grow up in, like, you know, the whole black church, you know, everybody on Sundays looking like, I can't even think. It's like everybody and their mama just on Sundays growing up, you expected to like dress up and like go in this whole mindset of, you know, church and stuff. And that's cool. That's the whole Christian like mindset. It's whatever, to each his own. But like as you get older, you find your own place, you find your own clarity. You know what I'm saying? You find more so spiritualness within yourself, what that looks like. And like, I ain't gonna lie, growing up, I kind of felt like I was that outcast because I did, like, think differently from everybody else. But then after a while, I was like, yo, this is what makes me peace. This is what brings me peace. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, I started learning more about natural attraction, divine order, and all of that stuff. And it's crazy how once you get your clarity of knowing that everything happens for a reason, that's when that spiritualness within yourself comes. And it's like, I guess my question to you is like, where did that click of like your own like oneness come in? Like, when did you be like, you know what?
I ain't fucking with church no more.
Yeah. Gotcha. Literally, because I feel like that's a mindset that we get so trapped in because of like family, because of like culture, you know what I'm saying? But then it's like, everybody, not, it's the difference between actually being spiritual at or just doing it to just, you know, be a part of the like clique or whatever. But it's a different energy, you know what I mean, when it's pure. So I mean, like, I know you have that, and I feel it every single time. That's why I'm like, yo, I can connect with Frankie way more in so many layers on the intellectual level just talking, because I feel that shit, you know what I mean? So like, for real, like, what was that like awakening for you, and like, what did that look like?
I realized that when I was living with my parents, and both my parents are deacons, deacon and deaconess. So they're in the church, but they're not super religious at all. And they always, they didn't force it on me and my brother. So, you know, just reading books, studying, being in school for sociology, all of that kind of helped mold my mind to understand like, well, no, this is some oppressive shit. Like, this isn't what we were before we came to this country. I'm like, it's more. I had a desire and I searched. And then I was like, don't fuck with this church shit. It don't do it for me. Then I started, and then that's when my Crohn's kicked back in, or irritation. And I went to the doctor. I had ate beef, I stopped eating beef. And then I went to the doctor and they saw a couple ulcers. And they tried to put me back on medicine and shit. And I was like, nah, I'm gonna figure this out. I can heal myself with food. I know I can heal a goddamn ulcer. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I had the strength in my mind. And I knew the only way that I could do that is through meditation. So I searched meditation centers, places around me, and my Zen center was 2 miles away. And then, the neighborhood we moved to, the naturopathic doctor was in walking distance. So the woman who helped me shift from the regular doctor to that, she was up the street. Mm-hmm. So it's like, wow, we moved here for this shit.
It's right.
And
here,
I found the apartment in a goddamn newspaper. For my parents, just one day we had to move, and I just found that shit in a newspaper. And who looks in a goddamn newspaper
for
an apartment? And I found that shit, and then we moved from the west side to Borough One. That's how it happened.
Wow. And it's like, fast forward, like, it's a, like, on a fast forward level when you look at yourself, right? Like, of a present day, like, what comes to mind?
That I listened to my gut. My gut never deserves me. My gut told me to be vegan. My gut told me not to fuck a white doctor. My gut told me not to mess with Christianity anymore. My gut told me to meditate. My gut told me to get into yoga. My gut told me to get into Reiki. And shit, here we are.
I feel that. I feel like how I do my like media stuff is just second nature how you do meditation. Like, what is the start of that like passion? Like, what did that kick off? Like, when did that just say, you know what, full force?
All my life I desired to be a chef and a monk. Since I was a little boy, I always had interest in either being a judge, a lawyer, a chef, or a monk. I just had an interest in that serenity, that peace that monks had in their aura. So, so then having the opportunity when I started going to my Zen center and seeing how meditation made me feel, like, wow, this is real. Like, I have to believe that I'm healed via my mind and my body will follow. And it did. The burning sensation went away. And yeah, and cooking was my first meditation. I began doing that before actual meditation, because veganism came first before meditation. And so just practicing and being present with food and then studying food, that helped shift my mind in a different way. Because I always could cook. I learned how to cook from my grandmother, my mother, my grandfather, great cooks. So just now applying that same seasoning ability to vegan foods and studying what this vegetable does, what this fruit does for the body, and then mixing stuff. Yeah.
That's what's up, because it makes sense of like the food, Frankie. Like, y'all should be so plain. That's why I told you all I need is hot sauce with the croquettes. Like, I literally missed that shit. While I was eating it, I'm like, I'm missing something, and I already knew what it was. So I'm like, it's all that sauce.
Oh, and then like speed up in present day in terms of meditation at my Zen center. Now I'm the head chef cook there.
Okay.
So I cook for the retreats, for events, for parties. Now it's full circle. And I prefer to cook than eat. I cook way more than I eat food. Like, I cook the food and then I'm over the shit. Like, I don't even want to eat that shit. Right.
So, damn. Wait, so yeah. Frankie, rewind. So, you literally, hear me out. How much do you eat a day?
I eat.
I'm thinking you just be like.
But let's say I cook for a party or like for the Sung on Fridays. You don't really see me eat.
I feel
that. Because I'm tired.
Because you're working.
I'm tasting it. So I'm tasting the spices. Does something to my brain, which sends it to my body that I'm full.
I feel that. That's like with me, where I can't eat like a full meal before like working, like my shit. Like, I cannot eat a heavy ass meal. I mean, yeah, I've done working, but like before I start my shit, I don't like being super full. Like, I have to be in my own, I don't know, element of fullness, which is like actually being driven to do the shit. So that's why I don't think to eat. So I would say, when I was thinking of the questions, I'm like, I don't want this to be related to like anything. Like, I just wanted a whole ass, like real ass conversation with Frankie. So I'm good on this. It's just going. So looking back on your entrepreneurial moves, right, from the past to present, like from when you started, when you feel like you knew you started, right, to now, like, what's one lesson you apply every day on a mindset of just waking up?
Consistency. Like, the more, and consistency in all the ways, consistency and practicing my gifts, my talents, and why I'm here, and then consistency and applying my gifts and my talents and why I'm here. And that's why I've been growing in entrepreneurship, definitely, over the years. Because all my life, I've always been good at selling things, even as a little boy. Right after high school, in high school, I would, my mom would work for Cards, and so she would know all the sales and specials. So around Valentine's Day, they would have the jewelry, real jewelry would be ridiculously cheap, like super cheap. So I'll go up there, spend like $150 on bracelets. It's now $25. Real gold, real diamonds.
Wow.
Like, not a lot, but and good quality. And then just resell the shit at my school. And then I made this beta plant in a bowl. You just sit on your desk. And they liked it. It was for entrepreneurship class at my school. And I would have them on the desk. And then it was around Mother's Day, so the parents were bound. The staff was bound.
So you making shit that was just like everybody fucked with.
And then when I graduated out of high school,
you said the parents and the kids, fam.
When I graduated out of high school, I started selling purses, shoes, women clothes first, then men clothes, shades, wallets. I was like Jody off Becky Boy. Right, and I was good at the shit.
Wow.
Right? I was like this, but good with selling clothes. So I could tell the size you were. I could tell your shoe. I could just tell by looking at you. That people like this. Like, oh, and they would want to buy the shit.
Absolutely.
And then they tell their friends about me. Then I do specials and deals and yeah.
Wow.
And then working for people, like knowing that I had a connection with working with helping the mind in some way, helping the body and energy in some way, and working with the mentally ill for like 6 to 8 years, I realized that in that way I was in the service to them. So what can I do, because this isn't working? So I quit working for them and had the opportunity to apply my gifts, even though they weren't sharp. And she was like, well, you quit your job, you can work for me. And like, oh damn, okay. And then I did it. So then now I'm doing massages, I'm doing Reiki in schools, my gifts, and then I'm getting good and good, because now I'm doing it on a regular basis. So I'm massaging and doing Reiki like 50 people a week for a whole school year. And then I'm getting good at this shit. And then not wanting to work in CPS because it was always late paying you. I'm like, I can do this myself. I can do this myself. And wanting my children to have access to me as much as possible and still earn the money that I need to take care of myself and them. And then it's like, right. No one can create what you create, because what you create comes from you, comes from God, comes from Source. And that's why you're here. So sell what you're great at.
So one word to describe your journey and why.
One word.
One word.
Okay, I'm going to give the word and then I'm going to give another answer. That's two words.
Okay.
The word is love.
Okay.
Specifically, unconditional love. Because I give love knowing that I won't get it in the way that I give it. So, trusting and knowing that the universe and God is going to give me always what I need, because I'm just a vessel of our divine self, and just giving love unconditionally. It's what we all need. Like, love the unlovable, love the people who are hurting, and consistently. Because if you turn on your back away from someone that needs love, then that's you missing out on the opportunity to help raise that present vibration. And then when they come into counter someone else, and then it's just a cycle. But if you walking around with withholding love and being unloving, that's what you get back. And I know why I've been growing so successful in this immediate time. It's because my capacity to continuously and consistently give unconditional love. First with self. Like, the more I care for me, the more I take care of me, the more I'm activating my gift, my mission, and why I'm here, that energy goes out into my work field and onto everyone and everything that comes into my vessel. Be your love.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, so pretty much thinking about from being an entrepreneur, but a creative entrepreneur, and all the things you endure or go through. I think for me, a big part is like the trust in your own ability, the trust in the process, the trust in people around you, and how when you trust, you don't have to make as many excuses. It's not about what coulda, shoulda. It's just about what is and what has to happen and what needs to happen, because there's things that you want to do. There's things that you want to accomplish. There's another person you want to be. Like you're dissatisfied. But how also the dissatisfaction doesn't domino affect you into distrust, anxiety, sadness. I think what I had to develop is like this concept of like mental toughness and knowing that there's gonna be days where you don't feel worthy of a thing. And so how do you allow yourself to have that day, but say, all right, I had that day, but I'm gonna have a billion, if I can, days not like that. I'm gonna have more days not like that than those days where I'm distrusting the process or distrusting myself. I think we all want to be something, somebody. And when you're a creative, you want to make something. You want to affect. You want what you're doing to go beyond you. And so when you couple that with like, oh, I want people to pay me for that. I want people to see the value in that. I want people to put a price on that. Then you put yourself in this really, really, really like vulnerable, risky, challenging situation. And I think for me, that's like, there's so many people that don't even know I'm an artist. So not to say like don't know I'm an artist, but like I'm not out there. I'm not, because I think honestly I still haven't figured that out. I'm still in that battle of like, even now, like with my design, people will be like, oh, how much for some shoes? Or this, wanting to compensate me, and I'm just like, oh no, I'm just doing it for you. Or I don't do that, And so I don't know, I think it's a challenge, but I think I also know that like my creativity goes far beyond what I can make, what I can make into a physical or a whole. So like my creative mind, my ideas, my concepts, my, so now I'm in the space of like, yeah, I think there is value to that. There's value to my time and coming in and picking my brain or getting me to ideate, there's so much value in that. And I think that is where I've kind of burst into like, the next year, that's what I know to be something that I'm comfortable putting a price on. I'm comfortable as a creative, as an entrepreneur saying this is the thing that I want to take me to the next financial level. This is something that is creative, that has value, even if it isn't. Well, it is. It is a product. It's just not that. It's not in physical form in the ways that we think. And I think that in a lot of ways is the hardest, for people to actually be convinced of, and also for you to convince yourself of. Think about how much free ideas you give away, how many free impressions or promotion or just whatever we give as creatives, without actually being able to like put it into form. So I think that's, that's where I'm at in the next year of just understanding, like, I trust what I don't want to be necessarily paid for at this moment in time, or who I don't want to charge for these things, or what prices I don't want to put. But then I understand that my creativity stretches far beyond what I can mold or make with my hands. A lot of it is my mind. And so how do I then trust that, trust the process of that, and really, really, really be comfortable with being a human being through that, and finding time for like all the other shit of like life, because you don't turn off like, I don't know, you don't turn off being a business person and being a human, or being, you know. And I think that is another thing too, with that crushes a creative person's soul, when they really understand the business of it. Like, oh, this is a fucking business, and you gotta, like, that's why you think, see creatives, especially like artists, who just hire somebody else to be that person, hire somebody else to answer that question, hire somebody else to know that thing about the business, as opposed to putting themselves at the forefront of it. And a lot of them get hustled out of their money, get hustled out of a lot of things, or they're spending unnecessary money because they don't want to be a part of the bit. So, I think there's this fine line between, like, the entrepreneur of, like, understanding the business and being the creative who now has to go out and do that work, have those conversations, make those relationships, and be a badass, and like, don't take no shit, and understanding that not taking no shit isn't a disrespectful thing. It's a, I don't know, it's like just building trust, like, with yourself and with the people who you are gonna be in business with, while not feeling super, super bad that you turned something that you want to like change the world and give to the world as something that should be compensated.